Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Hey there, Amy. Well, the last couple of days, we've been really hitting some really hard to understand concepts that can be very troubling when you first hear them. Today, we're going to continue, and we're going to see that we aren't the only ones who struggled with some of these concepts. We're going to see that Israel itself struggled with these concepts. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 9. We're going to be in verses 30 through 33 today. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." The Gentiles, without the law, attained righteousness through faith. Guess what? They weren't looking for righteousness. They weren't seeking good or wanting to make themselves acceptable to God. But neither were the Jews. Seriously, look at how many times Israel disobeyed and became like the other nations. However, in Paul's time, the Pharisees especially were looking for righteousness, self-righteousness. Yet those Jews who were pursuing righteousness, they did not attain their goal either. Why? Because they pursued it as if they could earn it. Something that we need to realize is this. Sinners are condemned not because of something that God has done to them, but because of their own sins, the most damning of which is their rejection of God and of Christ. It is by their faith that the Gentiles have attained righteousness, not by their works. It is by their lack of faith that Israel has failed to attain the righteousness that the law demanded. The law promised righteousness when its demands were met. However, no human could ever meet those demands because we are all sinful. And by the way, the righteousness that Paul is talking about here is that right standing before God, that courtroom idea. That righteousness only comes from Christ. That's not talking about being a good moral person. The Jews chose to keep their focus on the law, and they continue to try to be righteous through the law. But Christ was the culmination of that law and the only source of righteousness, and they refused him. Israel missed seeing Christ for who he was because they were focused too narrowly on the law. And the reality that they have missed Christ means that they keep on focusing on the law. An analogy of this given by Douglas J. Moo in his commentary on Romans is this. Israel is like a person walking on a path whose eyes are so narrowly focused downward on the path itself that she trips over a stone in the middle of the path. Israel's failure to perceive in Christ the end goal of the path that she has been walking on leads her to continue on that path long after it had served its purpose. The Gentiles believed Christ and were not put to shame. They took what was promised at face value without the hindrance of their own expectations and agendas of what the Messiah was to look like to get in their way. Without those prejudices, the Gentiles actually had an easier time accepting Christ than the Jews. The Gentiles didn't need as much convincing that they weren't righteous and needed a Savior. Think about it. Those super smart, well-read Pharisees trusted in their super smartness and their knowledge of Scripture to save them. They trusted in their own ability to keep the law, in the sacrificial system, but those things, as Paul has already explained, couldn't save them. The Gentiles, once not a people, are now entering into the people of God, while Israel, abundantly blessed and given so many privileges, fails to act on those privileges and receive salvation in Christ. The fact that the Gentiles weren't seeking righteousness yet attained it highlights that it is God who shows mercy and who brings them to repentance. The truth was, Israel was a nation, as a nation, was zealous but ignorant. Israel as a nation, not talking about individual people, individual exceptions here, like Paul, but Israel as a nation didn't and doesn't understand that the gospel of Christ brings the whole of the salvation history of God and the world to its climax, and Israel should have understood that because the Old Testament clearly points to the gospel, as we see as Paul continues to quote the Old Testament to make his points. Jesus was a stumbling block for the Jews, plain and simple. This wasn't or shouldn't have been a surprise, though. Long before Jesus came, the Old Testament prophets predicted that Israel would reject the Messiah. Why? Because he came and addressed the heart motive. He came and he didn't fulfill their expectations, because their expectations were based on their own desires, not on his glory. He didn't come with a new to-do list for them. He came and told them that it is through faith by grace alone that we are saved, not through works. That was very hard for the Jews to accept, especially the teachers. They had spent so much time trying to quantify God's mind, trying to put him in a box, that they totally missed that they were trying to box up the creator of the universe. If obedience to the law would save the Jews, or any of us, then there would be no need for Christ at all. Remember, the purpose of the law was to make us aware of how far we are from God and to realize that we needed a Savior. It wasn't to create a checklist. Jesus himself shot this idea down when he told the people that if they had looked at a woman with lust in their hearts, they had committed adultery with her in their hearts. The Pharisees were horrified by this. Jesus was laying claim to their very thoughts. He was saying that even their own depraved minds mattered. They wanted very much to believe that if they just kept their behavior in line with the letter of the law, that they would be fine. No real change needed. Thus, he was a stumbling block. There was no list to check off, and that was very hard for the Jews. And to be honest, it's hard for us today, too. We so desperately want a list. We so desperately want God to leave us alone to let us have our pet sins and not insist that we give up those too. We want to be able to cross off the list of care for the needy, kindness to neighbors, adherence to the rituals, and be done. To leave it behind. To leave him behind. It's awfully inconvenient to have him convict you that your favorite show is something that is not God-honoring and you should give it up. It is hard to have him come into your life and actually do a little housekeeping. We don't like that. We want to be left alone. We want to say, but I gave up that big sin, God. Isn't that good enough for you? The answer is no. He doesn't call us to give up a little. He calls us to give up everything. So my question for us all today is this. What everything is he asking you to give to him? What sin are you holding on to, telling yourself that surely he will let you keep just that one? Where is he a stumbling block for you? Isn't it time to give that over to him so that you too might not be put to shame? Don't be like the nation of Israel, so intent on the path that you trip over his truths. And don't continue on a path that no longer serves a purpose. Let him have all of you, not just what's convenient for you. Give everything up to him and see the change manifested in your life, not by your own doing, but by his.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.